This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2126. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. On this edition, recorded February 17th, Australia, Azores, Brazil, Bulgaria, Canada, Chile, Cuba, Czechia, Egypt, Germany, Greece, Indonesia, Iran, Korea, North and South, Luxembourg, North America, Oklahoma, Russia, South Sudan, Tibet, Turkey, UAE, UK, USA, unidentified, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, Matt Francis ends the story February 16th from Radio Info Australia. ABC wants more funding for Pacific broadcast. Managing Director David Anderson told his Senate committee hearing, public broadcasters in the Pacific have raised concerns about Chinese government pressure to carry state-owned news content. ABC is lobbying to expand its operations in the Pacific and play a greater soft diplomacy role as China increases its influence in the region. The national broadcaster ended shortwave Radio Australia transmissions in 2017 under Michelle Guthrie amidst warnings that shortwave was still important and that other countries would extend their influence in the Pacific in the absence of Radio Australia on shortwave. In 2018, China extended its shortwave broadcast to the region on the vacated ABC frequencies. I suspect that is an oversimplification. I haven't noticed any specific change from China into former Radio Australia frequencies. There are plenty of other frequencies available. ABC continues to broadcast in the Pacific, but at a smaller scale than in previous years. It's currently lobbying federal government for an additional $12 million to support expansion of broadcast services to the region again. The radio teletype Intruder in the 49-meter band, believed to be from the U.S. Navy on Azores 6114, is still heard occasionally. I had it February 11th at 0652, interfering with Japan on 6115. And Lou Johnson in Georgia says it's back on February 16th, starting at 0100 when it interferes with WWCR, which is still on 6115. Here's another Brazilian pirate reported by Lucio Otavio Bobrovic in Brazil. It's on 9290, heard before and after 13 UT on February 12th, called Rádio Araucária, which is a free radio station from somewhere in Paraná State with 60s Brazilian pop rock music selections, and a good signal for him. As we reported recently, Bulgarian National Radio is back on shortwave, thanks to transmissions via the low-power shortwave service in Kahl, Germany. However, don't expect QSLs from Bulgaria. Dr. Hans-Jörg Biener forwards a response to Bernd Zeiser, February 15th, from Rosica Radulova at BNR, about rebroadcasts of their podcasts in German and English. After consulting my colleagues, I have to inform you, and everyone who has written to us and sent reception reports, we will not issue a QSL card for this. The reason is that our program, which we produce from Monday to Friday and publish on our website, is broadcast via the Kahl Krekel transmitter without our knowledge or involvement. There is no agreement between BNR and the broadcaster on this, so we cannot influence these programs and their content, and accordingly assume no responsibility. Also, we've stopped issuing QSL cards for cost and personnel reasons for years. Dr. Biener adds, the journalists there may feel overworked and underpaid. At least they do reply personally to emails. Richard Langley replies, Christian Mealing of Shortwave Service does QSL. He's promised to do so for Radio Andorra Revival broadcast, for example, but give him some time. Shortwave Service is essentially a single-man operation. Sometimes he actually sends out hard copy QSLs through the P-mail. Mike Cooper forwards a Toronto Star column of February 11th by William Littler. Institutions change and the CBC is one of them. Why is CBC Radio forgetting its classical music lovers? CBC's coverage of classical music simply ain't what it used to be. For example, I listened to the final broadcast of the opera program Backstage last September. And then there was Glenn Gould, who was heavily involved with CBC Radio. Richard Langley says, I especially miss Disc Drive with Jürgen Gotha on CBC Radio 2. It's too bad CBC let the millennials take over the network. Walt Somenev in BC replies, I echo your sentiments. The music on AM Radio 1 network of CBC is just awful. Whenever my wife hears it, she immediately wants me to switch to a different station. I definitely listen for the content and never for the music. On the other hand, Ricky Leong in Calgary says on February 16th, this came across my social media feeds this morning. Randy Bachman's Vinyl Tap prepares to take another spin on Chorus Entertainment Station. It's from globalnews.ca. The rock and roll radio show has not tapped out after all. A new syndicated version has been picked up by Chorus Entertainment to broadcast on nearly a dozen of its rock stations across the country on Sundays in most markets, including Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Toronto, Hamilton, and others. Reminder for North Americans and others to keep checking for the pirate stations in Chile, reported closer to home by Claudio Galas, Radio Triunfal Evangelica, on 5825, February 14th, from 2214 to 2217 with evangelical hymns. Or maybe it's not a pirate since it did make it into the WRTH unlike all the others. Something's always wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba. For example, February 14th at 2228, 15140 was still on the air an hour after it was scheduled to close, and no other frequencies could be found except 11880 during its English hour, which on other days has been missing altogether. Via Pedro Sedano, El Dial, a more than month-old story from Diario Las Americas, that President Biden has proposed cutting funding for radio and TV Marti. And this has generated reactions among South Florida legislators. If approved, it would be the second funding cut since Biden became president. Dr. Hans-Jürg Biener sends an item from the Radio Prague International website for World Radio Day. Radio Prague International is updating its signature jingle. During the communist era, of course, it was forward left. After that, it came from Dvorak's New World Symphony. The new version is also from Dvorak, but quite a bit jazzed up, and I don't really care for it. Maybe you can listen to it via their website, if not via the relays on WRMI. Marco on Medium Wave Info via Mike Terry. Czech Radio is going to start test broadcasting in DRM on one of their medium wave frequencies, 954 kHz, with 3.16 kilowatts. Same old story from Radio Cairo, Egypt, when on the air, the 2115 English Sesquiar, nominal 9900, is actually around 9899.607, with dead air or very poor modulation, when checked February 12th and 14th, for example. On the 15th, it was missing altogether, which I considered quite an improvement, but less than an hour later, Andy Reid in Ontario did find it on the air, with some audio squeaking through. Upon the Isle of Wight, UK, Alan Holder, G4ZBH, reports on February 15th. I monitor every day in the hope the technical situation at Radio Cairo will improve. 9440 in Albanian at 15 UT, where the buzzy transmitter has been off from February 10th, but back on from today, still unlistenable with some distortion. 9900 is on as usual in Italian, very distorted. Most days it's carrier with no modulation. 9810 also on in German at 19, heavily distorted. Surprisingly, 9510 has appeared again with the buzzy transmitter in Russian, but modulation at a level with just a little distortion. More language services are on again tonight. It seems the schedule varies according to which transmitter operator is on duty. Every year on February 21st, there is a broadcast from a radio Amrum, or Inrang, from the German North Frisian Islands. No matter what day of the week, this year it's on Monday, as reminded in the British DX Club communication. It's traditionally at 16 to 17 UT on 15215, presumably transmitted via France. It's in the native language, the Frisian dialect, a little English, and also in German. QSL's only via the transmitter operator, Media Broadcast. That's AMRUM or O-Umlaut-O-Umlaut-M-R-A-N-G. I wouldn't be surprised if it's exactly the same recording they played in previous years. Regarding reports that the Voice of Greece may have to terminate shortwave at the end of March, to the World of Radio I.O. Group, Sean McHenry, KB8, JNE, replies, I find any organization advocating the discontinuation of shortwave and/or medium wave transmission to be ridiculously short-sighted, bordering on dangerous. Almost every military origination of any large size keeps transmitters on and functional for long-range communication. Should satellites be targeted or wiped out due to CME events, we will have communications vital to self-defense as a nation. In the USA, the federal government has over the past two decades or longer been advocating directly in print and other mediums for folks to have a disaster preparedness kit that includes a radio. It always disturbs me when a large group, especially a large country, advocates for dismantling a sound and effective system for early warning for its citizens. Frankly, it shows me they just don't care. Our internet is in and out where we live. Rural areas do not have it, or even want it in many cases. Radio waves pass overhead of us and are there when we want them. A pocket radio can travel the world, not so a smart phone. All this is nothing new, and surely this crowd is fully aware of the outright necessity for radio. To me, as a listener of the USAF HF system frequencies and the Russian buzzer, etc., radio is a concern for national security, says Sean McHenry, KB8JNE. Upon Asilomar State Beach, California, Ron Howard reports on Voice of Indonesia, 3325 via Palangkaraya, February 11th at 10:07. Thanks to Ivo Ivanov, who observed a new schedule, now starting about an hour earlier than in the past. It had started around 11 UT, but they had English news until 10:09. And then their patriotic song, and Today in History, announcing 3325 kilohertz. By 12:11, the audio was gone, just dead air. Also, February 11th at 12:11, 4749.95 was clear, with VOI and CNR1 China mixing 4750.0. Also, CODAR QRM, so both were unusable, but certainly two stations. Last week, we mentioned a new mystery target broadcast for Iran, Fridays only at 1730 to 18 UT via an unknown site on 5910, but in the Farsi language, according to the World Radio TV Handbook update. My first chance to monitor it via a remote was February 11th, and it turned out to be half an hour of dead air, not very helpful. Meanwhile, without notice, WRTH had added more info to their update when we checked it again. It says opposition TV station based in Canoga Park, Los Angeles, a weekly broadcast relayed on shortwave to Iran. It's from Channel 1 TV, the website chfigure1.cc. The website is well developed and remains mostly in Farsi, even if you click on English. Searching on 5910 goes nowhere, and I can't find anything about radio broadcasts, but plenty about satellite TV. Kai Ludwig says it's a typical California-based regime change in Iran operation. There's a Wikipedia entry for the person behind it, Shahram Homayoun. It's on Eutelsat 7B and 1MUX with the usual suspects. Despite the lack of modulation, Wolfgang Büschel did some TDOA direction finding on 5910 at that time, which led him to believe it was coming from the Pridnestrovia or Moldova relay site. However, Ivo Ivanov begs to differ. He thinks it's from Tashkent, Uzbekistan, and that now seems to be the consensus. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio, 2126, a non-commercial service like our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for generous financial support from Robert Weller. Send a contribution via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com. One may also contribute by money order or check on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. Ron Howard in California says, from Korea South, Voice of Freedom went back to their alternate frequency of 5920 instead of 6045 as of February 11th, closing at 1156 UT, but going on at 1200 with a nice singing station jingle. Voice of Truth, Voice of Hope, Voice of Freedom broadcast in translation. 4 days later, on the 15th, they were still on 5920, and the non-stop super jamming was still on their former frequency, 6045, checked at 1130. Up around frequency changes from the other station, Monday, February 14th, All new frequencies for Echo of Hope, VOH, should remain through Sunday the 20th. Check at 1055, 3985, 4890, 5995, 6255, 6350, and 9105. While there were no changes from the previous week for Voice of the People, VOP. Regarding the World Radio Day special from Radio Luxembourg, or RTL, about European pirates on February 13th, Richard Langley in New Brunswick says, an interesting show, commentary in French, but lots of English in the sound clips and jingles, and the pop songs. The smattering of French will allow you to follow the drift. And the podcast is available at www.rtl.fr. Filed presumably under North America, station on 5055, recorded by Chris Krug in Tulsa, February 11th at 2345, with some Beatles songs and others. Ron Howard found an entry for this at HF Underground, identifying it as WTF Radio Worldwide, 5055 AM, heard in Northeast Ohio at that same time. On February 17th, I see an ad in the local Enid newspaper for an auction to be held yesterday in Oklahoma City of vehicles and office equipment of iHeartMedia, 50 Penn Place. That's the home of KTOK, 1000 and several FM stations. So what's going on? Is iHeartMedia pulling out of OKC or just moving somewhere else and selling all its old equipment? It's a strange and rather intriguing story from the Soviet news agency TASS, February 7th, via Mike Cooper. Russia initiates cross-border radio broadcasts in languages of the North. An application has been filed with the Arctic Council, dateline St. Petersburg, February 7th. The International Consortium for Preservation of Arctic Cultural Heritage, based at the Russian State Hydrometeorology University, initiated a cross-border radio broadcast in languages of the North's indigenous peoples. An application for the broadcast has been filed with the Arctic Council. It must be filed from two countries, and we plan to go along with Norway, with Sami Radio, part of Norway's big television and radio concern. We probably will begin with shortwave as it covers bigger territories and is less costly. Initially, the pilot will be organized on the territories of Finland, Norway, and Russia. The initiators are ready to cooperate with other countries. One transmitter in Krasnoyarsk may cover 80% of the Russian north. Norway has such a transmitter, which covers the Scandinavian territory. Another two transmitters are in Alaska. Later on, the broadcasts will be also on medium and long wave. The audience will learn about traditions, skills of the peoples living in the north. The content will fully focus on culture. So all this seems to be totally friendly cooperation on a non-political basis, even involving Russia. Kim Elliott replies, interesting and strange proposal that somehow would be a joint project of Russia and NATO countries. Presumably, shortwave would be less costly than covering the entire region with FM transmitters. Shortwave broadcast transmitters in the countries have been shut down except for KNLS in Alaska. Will this involve new shortwave transmitters or from abroad, such as Nauen in Germany or WRMI in Florida? There were medium and longwave stations serving the region, generally from the south, but most have been taken off the air. Nevertheless, Kim says, I like the idea of long, medium, and shortwave broadcasting to this area. Modern analog shortwave portables also cover medium wave and mostly long wave, so receivers are available. But the ionosphere can be fickle in the polar reaches. February 14th at 0334, just about the only signal on the 25-meter band was on 11650.053. This turns out to be Radio Tamazuk for South Sudan, transmitted via Madagascar, which has a trans-equatorial propagational advantage. Via Rusty X, a couple of Russian DXers have excellent QSL galleries. The latest issue, two of them show a new QSL from Gawelon Tibetan Radio, transmitted via FEBC using the UAE site at 12 to 1228 UT on 15215. It's spelled Gawelon. It originates in India, and I assume it is religious. Absolutely beautiful art on these QSLs. I suggest you check them out at qsl-review.blogspot.com, which belongs to Konstantin Barsenkov in St. Petersburg. Also on the website of Dmitry Elagin at freerutube.info. They display not only their latest, but previous QSLs for each station. We enjoy listening, or trying to listen, if we can understand them, to the Voice of Turkey. English to North America at 23 UT on 5960. Sometimes not on the air or coming on late. Sometimes good modulation, sometimes squealy, sometimes barely modulated. On February 11th and 12th, there was a segment called Feeling Supreme, the same one about natural cures for cracking hands due to the cold. On February 16th and 17th, Ivo Ivanov, Observer Bulgaria, logged a series of transmissions from the Davaya UAE relay site, all of them about a tenth of 1 kHz off frequency plus, and thus very likely the same defective transmitter. Here they are, from 1115, 17830 in Indonesian, from 1200, 17845 in Somali, 1300, 17680 in Afar, 1315, 15325 in Indonesian, and 14 to 15, 15420 in Somali. On the other hand, at least one of the relay transmitters at Tashkent, Uzbekistan, is always about 0.1 kHz off frequency minus. About BBC funding cuts, Stephen Luce in Houston says, there will be at least one general election in the UK before 2027, and a new Labour government might very likely reverse any spending cuts. We shall see. We continue to wonder about the future of BBC World Service and its shortwave output. I'm surprised further cuts haven't already been made, considering budget pressures. I gather that in Britain there is a degree of resentment among the public that overseas listeners are provided free content, while those at home in the UK have to pay a license fee. Celebrating the 80th anniversary of the Voice of America, 3 special event ham radio stations, thanks to Kim Elliott for this info, their third letter of their 3-letter calls spell out VOA. W3V at headquarters in Washington, W8O at Bethany, Ohio, and W4A at Greenville, North Carolina. This will function each day, Saturday and Sunday, the 19th and 20th of February, between 14 and 22 UT. Much more details at W4AMC.com. Diverse modes, but the SSD frequencies will start at 14-80, 7280, and 3880, and move up or down as needed. Some jammed radio-free Asia services jump around to different frequencies depending on day of the week to confuse or escape jammers, but I don't think they're very successful. On February 15th at 1612 UT, since WRMI was missing from 9455, I checked out the RFA scheduling. If it were not Tuesday, but Monday, Wednesday, or Friday, the Saipan transmitter would have been on 9455 in Chinese during that hour. Instead, I heard it on 9720, which is the frequency for Tuesday and Thursday. And scheduled for Saturday and Sunday the same is on 9900. The new WBCQ programming on 4790 is being called Radio Angela. Latest details about that from Bill Tilford, who's been curating their tests during February. Here the dates and times are all strictly universal. February 20th and 21st at 03 to 05, and then the 22nd to 27th at 02 to 04, to decide which span is better propagationally. Programs used in testing are Behavior Night, Marion's Attic, From the Isle of Music, Otto Bell's Melting Pot, Bluegrass Frame of Mind, Jetzt geht's los from Germany, Tom Call Theater, Rockwave, and a sneak preview of WBCQ Concert Hall, which will be on UT Mondays. Regular programming begins March 1st. It may be followed, I think, by 1 or 2 hours more of WBCQ programming. The Concert Hall is of particular interest to me, as Bill knows. He says it starts on UT March 7th. Long-form opera and symphonic works that you can't do in a one-hour program. Even the operas are too long, but they will be done act by act. Such as Barbara of Seville and Carmen. And furthermore, there will be some PDQ Bach for filler. FCC news via the National Radio Club includes about 2 major 50 kilowatt stations, or soon to be. KOKC 1520 Oklahoma City has applied for a construction permit to resume being 50 kilowatts day and night and directional at night. You may recall one of their towers was destroyed in a tornado, but they're being rebuilt. This will certainly improve reception even inside Oklahoma and throughout the western half of North America. Another one is KAAY 1090 in Little Rock, Arkansas. It applies for a CP to be non-directional day and night with 50,000 watts a day, but only 80 watts at night. Yes, you read that correctly. Mike Cooper sent a story from the Seattle Times, February 8th. You might want to look up the whole thing, titled, "Thanks to a Glitch, Some Seattle Mazda Drivers Can't Tune Their Radios Away from KUOW. It's rather convoluted about why this is happening, but I must say they're very lucky that they're stuck on such an excellent public radio station. More about the intriguing mystery station on 6300 USD, Ron Howard reported last week. As of February 13th, he's still hearing this oddity around 0811 to 0828 UT with nonstop reciting from the Quran, and after 0828 seems to be chatting in Arabic. Brian Clark in New Zealand replies, "I first heard this on 9 October at 0734 with Quran and call to prayer, and it closed just after 0800 UT. Suggestions were that, as it's in a marine band, it might have been a board watch officer on a seagoing vessel doing a broadcast. After the Quran finished, there was a conversation, could have been an East Asian language. Propagation-wise, Gray Line Enhancement could put the transmitting location in the West Pacific or East Asia, so perhaps Filipino or Indonesian. Of course, I would point out that at that hour, 08 UT, it's unlikely to be from the Middle East or Africa reaching California. Listening to the recording, Bruce Churchill says the language sounded like Indonesian or Tagalog to me. February 17th at 1550, I had a barely audible signal on 15075, but not much better at the remote in Holland. This frequency is not accounted for other than a report by Arthur Posner on February 13th, 4 days earlier, between 1739 and 1744, as the pirate Cupid Radio. Connor Keegan forwards bad news about Kiwi SDR TDOA service suspended outside of ham radio allocation. That's the direction-finding technique using several remote receivers. The announcement was published on the Kiwi SDR discussion forum on February 15th. Given the current situation in Europe, the hobby-oriented, non-professional nature of Kiwi SDR and the TDOA service, it's been temporarily suspended outside of ham band and time station frequency ranges, and then proceeds to list the frequencies where it is still possible, including 3940, that Belarusian or Russian pirate. Seems to me this suspension really makes no sense, as there is no question about where time signal stations are located, nor is it really needed in a ham band. The propagation outlook from SWPC Boulder. Geomagnetic field is expected to range from quiet to minor G1 geomagnetic storm levels. Minor storm levels, likely, February 23rd and March 4th. Active conditions, February 22nd, 24th, March 3rd, 11th, and 12th. ANK indices peaking at 18 and 5 on February 23rd, 15 and 5 on February 24th, March 4th, and 11th. Solar flux rising from a minimum of 98 on February 17th to a maximum of 115 on March 1st and 2nd. And thus concludes another World of Radio, number 2126. Glenn Hauser here, hoping you found it informative. And make a point of hearing me again next week, with a standard disclaimer.